Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This Thursday night, I'll be hosting a town hall meeting on public school choice with New York City Schools Chancellor Dennis Walcott. It's part of WNYC's School Book Project at schoolbook.org. This is a free town hall meeting at the Pratt Institute, but we do require an RSVP, which you can do on the events page at WNYC.org. Hope to see you Thursday night for our town hall meeting with Chancellor Walcott about middle school and high school choice. RSVP at WNYC.org. Click on events. Remember the shots of water lapping at the steps in Battery Park during Hurricane Irene? We talked on Friday about how that storm highlighted issues facing the transit system if predictions of more frequent flooding due to climate change come to pass. But that's not the only system that will be affected. Last year, MoMA and PS1 hosted an exhibition by architects and urban planners that explored the effects of higher sea levels on the area's waterfront. The catalog for that exhibit is being published this month, called Rising Currents, Projects for New York's Waterfront. And joining me now are members of a team that looked at Lower Manhattan specifically. Stephen Castle has been a guest on the show before, and he's joined by fellow principal in the firm Architecture Research Office, Adam Urinsky. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC today.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Hurricane Irene, which was Tropical Storm Irene by the time it got here, didn't make it above that top step. But, Steve, it was a wake-up call, right?
Oh, it was, a close miss. What people really worry about is not just the hurricane itself, but the possibility of storm surge that comes from hurricanes. And storm surges can be really high, up to 18 feet above sea level.
So storm surges, Adam, during actual storm events, and an overall higher sea level due to melting ice caps.
That's correct. I mean, when I looked at some of the photos of Irene, I imagined 50 or 100 years from now, the same newscaster is talking from Battery Park, but with a dotted line up to his shoulders or over his head.
What were your assumptions going into this, Adam, as far as water levels?
Well, there's an incremental rise in sea level due to global warming that's affecting New York City and the rest of the world. And then in conjunction with that, there is an increased frequency of stronger storms because of the higher water level and because of warming ocean temperature. So those two factors make New York City more at risk than in the past for the impact of climate change.
And so I see a number here, Steve, that says 6 feet at high tide by 2100, the year 2100, flooding 21% of Lower Manhattan, and a Category 2 surge would flood over 61%.
That's correct. And the 6 feet is a dire prediction. If you can look at those predictions, they can be lower or higher. We don't quite sure where it's going to go. However, it's a major problem that we need to deal with now.
That's a worst-case scenario. But even a moderate case scenario could affect the way New York's waterfront needs to be designed.
That's correct. And you can't forget that the waterfront of New York has constantly evolved and used to be much smaller. The island of Manhattan used to be much smaller.
And so what kinds of properties are we talking about that are most at risk? Are we talking about just flooded streets, also basements, parks, or would it reach to the low floors of certain office and apartment buildings that you've had your eyes on in particular? Be as specific as you can.
Well, Battery Park City is an obvious place that would be flooded. And there's really two parts. Just from the rising water level, a lot of the infrastructure in New York and in buildings are in the basements. And so that's something that has to be addressed, of how you design buildings or protect buildings that are already designed from the ground floor, and even some areas where you have to think about the first or second floor of those buildings.
And I guess, Adam, this gets us out of the stale political debate about whether global warming is real or not. There's a certain amount of sea level rise that's already taken place, whether it's from our emissions or whether it's from some naturally occurring process, as the doubters would have it. There's some certain relatively recent sea level rise that's taken place. And so outside the level of climate scientists and politicians, you guys as architects have to start designing buildings and things that are ready in Lower Manhattan and elsewhere to take this into account.
That's right. And part of our proposal for Rising Currents, which we did in collaboration with a landscape architect, Susanna Drake of DLAND Studio, was to envision possible future city and to kind of take these silos of information about incremental sea level rise and policies that might be related to it, but look at it from a design standpoint as an opportunity to really transform the relationship between the city and the water, obviously to mitigate the effect of rising sea levels, but also to create new connections between the city and the water.
And so we have a link on our website to some images from your proposal that was called New Urban Ground. And your plan is sort of to give Lower Manhattan a soft edge. You use that term, soft edge. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically in contrast to what has been developed over the last couple of centuries in New York, where you have a vertical seawall that tries to absolutely keep out the flow of water. So in contrast, natural systems have what is called a gradient or a slope in which the tide rises and falls, and you have a more dynamic condition. So by allowing the city in some ways to function dynamically, you help mitigate the impact of water level rise and storm surge on the edges of the city. So by changing the way things are built, by allowing water to come in dynamically in certain areas, you create what we call the soft infrastructure in lieu of this hard infrastructure.
Stephen, you want to pick that up and talk more about it?
Yeah, we really actually looked at two problems. Is one, we know we have the rising water levels and the problem of storm surge, but there's actually a problem that exists right now, which is New York's sewer system actually gets overwhelmed with storm events. When it rains, even just an eighth of an inch or a quarter inch of rain, it dumps overflow into the waters around New York, and to the tune of 500 million gallons a week as an average. And that's really because water isn't absorbed into the ground. It gets diverted into the sewer system. And so we really also tried to address that, making sure we made a street system that absorbed water, whether it was from a storm or just from rainwater, and tried to manage it in straightforward ways.
To what extent would that mean redoing the entire concrete architecture of Lower Manhattan along the waterfront, the way it exists now? I'm looking at, and this listeners, check out the slideshow of images from their report on our webpage. It's really excellent. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. And the first one looks like the bottom of Manhattan as if you're looking from, say, the Staten Island Ferry or Governor's Island Ferry. And it looks like it's all this instead of, a hard curb, let's say, at the end of the bottom of the island, that there are these gradually receding patches of green.
Correct. What that is we called those breakwater islands. Essentially, a storm surge coming into the upper harbor of New York and New Jersey will pass through the Verrazano Narrows, and the tip of Manhattan is at risk from the horizontal force of that wave coming up from the Verrazano Narrows. And so those islands were intended to diminish the force of the wave, and they're actually made out of geotextile fabric socks, if you will, that are filled with sediment. Sediment's always coming down from the Hudson, and that is dredged in order to maintain shipping channels, so that sediment would be used for that purpose.
So I think Mark in Manhattan has a related question. Mark, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome, Brian. I know. I've heard about the situation in Venice, Italy, where they have a big flooding problem, and what they've tried to do is engineer a series of, locks and gates to regulate the surge. I know it's a different geography than Venice, but aren't there some, you started talking about, aren't there some like artificial barrier islands or some kind of a thing that might be contemplated?
You can put in hard infrastructure maybe at the Verrazano Narrows, but it's much harder and a much actually larger lift to try to get that to work with New York City. In Venice, where they're affected by much smaller amounts of change, they're basically approaching it by a series of gates that can lift up and stop the water just at certain times. Actually, Venice, though, they need the water to come in because that's their, sadly, sewer system, too.
Right. But are you envisioning a new canal along Canal Street?
Well, yeah, I mean, there has been a study to do flood barriers in New York City. One of the challenges is they don't protect large areas of the city like Coney Island and Staten Island. Given the way the harbor of New York has developed, Venice is a small city that sits in a lagoon, so that's a little bit easier problem to solve in that manner. The challenge we took upon ourselves was to think about allowing the water to come in a controlled fashion so that the city could be more resilient in terms of water rather than relying upon, as Stephen said, a single barrier, which if that were to fail could be catastrophic.
Bob on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
I was always wondering, at the South Ferry, when they redid the train station, they dug up the old battery wall. And that battery wall would have been way below what is now, I guess, the river level. So when we don't have our natural vegetation and leaves and everything falling down and allowing the land to slowly rise, does that also cause problems?
Are you familiar with that old battery wall? So is that a historical
yeah.
artifact
it
that
is.
Shows us how much lower the sea level used to be?
Well, it's funny because the area that would flood, that very clearly would flood, is the area that's landfill in lower Manhattan. So if you went back to the original Manhattan topography, that's where it pulls up higher and there's less of a problem.
So some of the buildings down there, some people may not realize, are built on landfill. People actually built out into the Hudson River or into the harbor so that they could put buildings there.
That's correct.
That's right.
Very expensive real estate once they created it.
Exactly.
Which is why they did it. So what happens with these ideas now that you've come up with them? Does the mayor's environmental, you know, long-term vision known as Plan YC 2030 include any of these proposals, or what would make it happen?
Well, the city's been very much a leader in terms of looking at these things, starting with a climate risk report, which they created in 2009, which sort of documented the problem, gave a kind of baseline of information. Plan NYC, as you mentioned, also the green infrastructure plan that they put out in the last year, and also the city planning department's Vision 2020. So they're working to do pilot projects that are related in some respects to what we show in the Rising Currents project in terms of bioswales and mitigating stormwater runoff. These things are all happening. I think what distinguished our project was the scale at which we showed the final result, where you could have a kind of solving of the problem, but also a new way of inhabiting the city. It could be quite exciting. So there are next steps underway, and it's really that's on the urban side, and then there's also private landowners and developers figuring out how to harden their structures.
Would anybody who lives or works down there now need to leave?
If there's a couple places that you may need to move upstairs, certainly. But I also think that the possibility, and certainly what we were proposing of this ecological infrastructure, will actually make the area much more beautiful and more green space, because once you're creating more absorptive land, there's more park space that's basically utilizing that.
And again, that photo number one in the slideshow of how that green space gradually moves from the office district into the water is really evocative. So folks, check it out at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I guess judging from your report and these pictures, regardless what happens in politics, it could be New York Harbor itself that occupies Wall Street.
Exactly.
In the not-too-distant future. Real quick, 10 seconds. Any global response to this? This is a Lower Manhattan-specific report you did. Are cities around the world contacting you and saying, ooh, we need something like this?
I was in Venice a year ago at a symposium that spoke about these issues, both in Venice and for issues around the world.
Stephen Castle and Adam Urinsky from the firm Architecture Research Office. They have published this month a catalog to the exhibit Rising Currents, Projects for New York's Waterfront. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.